like we always do when we deal with a deal, and then just go page by page. And then I'm on page one. Page one is just a preamble.
Whereas.
Yes.
Anyway.
And if the words are in the brackets, it was the original document. But we are putting forward that we should go away, we should move away from the whereas and whereas, wherefore. Okay. On page one, is there anything people are not happy with or want to comment on page number one?
No.
None. And then page number two. Page number two is also quoting the legislation that is relevant to this code of conduct, code of judicial conduct. And then page number three, it starts with the definitions. Is there anything that the members want to talk about on page number three?
Okay.
There's nothing. Article 1 is the definitions. Article 2, application. Article number 3, the objects and the interpretation thereof. And then page number 4, anything on page number 4?
Maybe we just want to think about under sub 4, or sub 4, sorry, 2, this code must, under that.
What page?
Page 4, page 4. This code must, you've got the 2, then under that there's a 4, and there's some lines with some words blocked out. And that is the rules of reason. And I think we should really think about keeping it.
No, I'm joking.
But I mean, really, you know, the rules of reason, you know?
It
must be applied consistently with the Constitution. Anyway, no,
agree
with that.
Okay. Welcome, Machake. We did receive a message that you'll be joining us. Anything apart from rules and rules on page number four? Nothing. We move to page number five, judicial independence. Anything, honourable members?
Should we put anything in here about the public protector?
Mr. Tilange, I assume the smaller grammatical mistake will be cleared out. If you look on page number 5, towards the end, I think it should be from. It's just a FRO. Line number 2.
It's coming out anyway.
Yeah, it's really coming out. Okay.
For the chair, it's not provide an excuse for failing.
Oh, FOR, okay. All right. Should I move to page number 6?
Yeah.
Page number 6. The at honorably. I think the A will be capital letter. Also, that is a very minor correction that will be done. This one.
Legislation.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I withdraw. Yes. It's a sentence to act honorably.
Yes.
The heading.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, honourable shape. On the previous draft we had, at the end of that 5.1, it said a manner befitting judicial office, and then you said, and the status thereof. That was underlined as a new insert. Why is that now not there anymore? Does it really matter?
But it's sorry, what was it before?
I said just had at the end of that sentence, be looking at the judicial office and the lady chair are.
But it's with the status of judicial office, you've got status already.
Right.
Did you say it's article number?
Yeah, what they've done, Chair,
is just the wording, they've brought in the wording status. It now reads on my draft, I've got all activities of a judge must be compatible with the status of judicial office. So, yeah.
Okay, are we happy with that? Okay. Let's move to page number 7. It deals with equality. Anything on page number 7? There is nothing. Therefore, I move to page number 8. Page number 8 deals with transparency. Nothing on page number 8. Let us move to page number 9, dealing with fair trial. Nothing on page number 9, am I correct? Nothing.
I just one would like to make comments about A1, meaning thereof, but I won't.
The Audi alteram partem rule. Here, the other side. More especially, it's the code for the judges. The judge know that. All they are expected to know that. All right. And then page number 10. Nothing on page number 10.
What about re-examination of witnesses?
Wait, what
number? The examination, cross-examination and re-examination of witnesses. No, I'm joking. No, re-examination usually is entailed. You only re-examine on the points that were
cross-examination. Obviously, the cross-examination will have a hyphen in between, am I correct? Cross-examination as one word.
Yeah.
That will be cleared. Then we move to page number 11, diligence. Anything on page number 11, honorable members? There is nothing.
No,
nothing. Then let us move to page number 12, restraint. Nothing on page number
12? Sorry, just can we go back to page
11? Right, let's go to page 11.
So mine was just under 1F.
1F.
A judge must attend chambers during normal office hours and attend court during normal court hours.
It's fine.
Well, on the same matter, Chair, I don't know if you recall, we were told in a previous committee chaired by another gentleman of a certain judge in, again, the Cape High Court, who positioned his bench in his court, positioned his bench in his courtroom, so that he had a view of the flagpole outside his window chambers. Mm-hmm. And if the flagpole blew, the wind blew in a particular manner,
mm-hmm.
that courtroom case was adjourned immediately. And off he was gone to Blåbergs Strand because he liked windsurfing.
Must have been one of Debbie's.
So 1F is very important.
Mm. Okay.
I thought that OSD's
Yes, with this code, that will with this code that will never be tolerated. Right, let us go to page 12. Anything on page number 12, honourable members? We dealt at length with reserved judgment. Honorable Landers, you were talking about the reserving judgment, the judge that reserved until he died, and then that is catered for, it will never happen again.
Well, you never know, you might die tomorrow.
No, but just hang on,
you've got then the two conditions of A and B.
Mm-hmm.
Matter was heard within 2 weeks of the end of term, or where a reserve judgment is a complex nature, or for any other cogent and sound reason, and with the consent of the head of the court. We just need to make sure that the deliver the reserve judgment during the course of the next term applies to A and B. I would have thought that at the end of consent of court there should be a semicolon, because basically the consent of court is only needed for B. You don't need the consent of court for A, okay? And it must be clear in terms of the drafting that delivered the judge that reserve judgment during the course of the next term applies to A and B.
Yeah.
After court. You see, I don't because if you don't have that, you would need it, but the consent of court is only needed for B, not for A. A is automatic.
So you're saying that semicolon should go?
No, I'm saying
after court it's a comma, it should be a semicolon at least.
Oh, okay.
And then when they do the printing, because this is where often things go wrong in the printing,
yes.
That we must just make sure that to deliver that reserve judgment during the course of the next term is on a line on its own, that it hasn't got lumped into B.
Okay. Honourable...
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'm a bit concerned about the fact that on page 12, I don't have a note about 2.1, which basically says that a judge must deliver all reserve judgments before the end of the term, but may, and this is the part, in respect of a matter that was heard within 2 weeks of the end of a term. I don't recall any collection, and that is my note of a previous discussion doesn't bear any resemblance to that particular insertion. It may have been discussed. My note in terms of what I have dated, well, it's not dated, but it doesn't reflect it in that style.
Yes, I think that was extensively discussed on the 7th of June.
Yes.
Honourable
Chairman. No, look, it was Frederick Schmidt. I'm not sure if he wasn't there. I recall that we did discuss and agree on this, but just one thing again under A. In respect of a matter that was heard within 2 weeks of the end of that term, not a term.
Yeah, of that term, yes.
A judge must deliver all reserve judgments before the end of the term, but may in respect of a matter that was heard within 2 weeks of the end of that term. I don't know if Mr. De Lange agrees. He's
are you happy with that, Mr. De Lange?
Chair, to be quite honest, not completely, because we're saying before the end of the term, that term, but my in respect of the matter that was heard within 2 weeks of the end of
that term.
Not any
term. That term. The end of, then I would prefer to say the first one, that term should be a term. Deliver all reserve judgments before the end of a term, but may before the end of that term. Not much standing on it, Chair, but on just in respect of that semicolon, I can just remark that the way it is drafted here is actually that the way we find it in Acts. So you've got your A, B, and you can have more and more and more, but the last one would be a comma followed by the overall application, the end of it all. The problem is if we put a semicolon after court, ordinarily you'd now expect to find a C as well. But when you follow it up with something that applies to both A and B, then there will just be a comma. But we can fix this and make sure about this with use of the indents, etc. But we'll have to make very sure when it's printed that they actually do it in the correct format.
Honourable Jeffrey?
Yeah.
Look, I bow to Mr. De Lange's superior knowledge on legal drafting with regard to the colon, semicolon. However, I disagree with him on the A and the that. I think it should be a judgment deliver or reserve judgments before the end of the term, because it's a specific term, okay? But may in the respect of which a matter was heard within 2 weeks of the end of that term, because it's referring to that term.
Same term.
Yeah, the same term. And then one goes on to deliver the reserve judgment during the course of the next term.
What I recall from my English teacher, he was saying, Professor, help me, you don't use a there before you use a.
Yes.
For example, a promise that I make is the promise that I keep. You can't say the promise that I make is the promise that I keep. You can't use the at the beginning. You must start with a promise that I make is the promise that I keep. But they will look at that, Mr. De Lange, you will look at what will be the correct grammatical.
I will change it to that. I'm sure that there can't be any misunderstanding in any event if you read it, Chief. They will know exactly what you mean.
Should we not be saying within 2 weeks of the end of a particular term or a specific term? I mean, not that term, sorry, at the beginning. A judgment is delivered or reserved judgments before the end of the term in which they are heard. That's what I meant to say. Because, what term? Before the end of the term, which term?
We agree that it be more detailed.
Of the term in which they are heard.
Yes.
In which
yes.
The matter was heard.
Yes.
Specific. The matter was completed. It might be part of.
Okay.
Yeah. Just before I proceed, I would like to formally welcome my colleague, the chairperson of the NCOP's Ad Hoc Committee for the Court of Judicial Conduct, Mr. Amos, Honorable Amos Madila. Coincidentally, at 2 o'clock today, they will be also finalizing this code and with the aim of eventually adopting it. Welcome, Honorable Madila. I will also attend your meeting if time permits.
At 3.
Oh, unfortunately, I'm a duty whip in the NA. Mm-hmm. And there is questions to the president, to the deputy president, unfortunately. Okay. Otherwise, on page number 12, anything else? No. Nothing.
Are you saying after semicolon of 36C?
No. Are you answered?
I was just following on Mr. De Lange's comment about the semicolon after the court. That normally would then therefore mean that there's got to be a C.
Yeah, I think I was bowing to his superior knowledge and punctuation. And I would suggest that Ms. Pilani Jacquet does the same. I mean, to me it made more sense having a semicolon, but if he says that's the way it's done, then that's fine, just leave it like that.
All right, thank you. Let us then move to page number 13. Is there anything on page number 13, honorable members?
Mr. Chair, page 13, the D, paragraph D there, it says, the only thing that's a bit strange, it appears to be a bit strange, is professional secrecy. Is that the secrecy the correct word? A judge respects, it comes out, okay, all right, it goes out, okay.
Yes, what is within the brackets will, it comes out. Okay, thank you. Let us move to page number 14. Anything on page number 14, honorable members?
You
want to send note 11 to judges of the Constitutional Court for comment.
11-2.
Can you repeat that? I missed it.
I said you don't want to send it the note to 11-2 on page 14 to the judges of the Constitutional Court to check if they're happy with the wording. Private consultation and debate between judges. And debate, wait, there's something wrong here actually. Private consultations and debates between judges are necessary. Yeah. Plural, so consultations and debates between judges are necessary for the judiciary to perform their functions.
Its functions.
However,
these occasions may not be used to influence the judges how a particular case should be decided.
The grammatical will be taken care of, Mr. Tilani.
Sorry, can I just establish certainty here? Is it should it be consultations and debates? Very well.
Otherwise, it would be private consultation and debate between judges is necessary.
Yes.
So you've got
no, which do you prefer, Chief?
Okay. Right.
And then can it be for the judiciary to perform its functions, not their?
Right. Can you maybe reflect us for a minute, not more than a minute, on the association? I know if we start revamping it again, it may delay us. Association a judge must not belong to any political party or a secret organization. This also applies to an acting judge, a person who may act for only 3 months, and then if he or she is lucky may get another acting stint for another 3 months, maybe the following year. We say that person should also not belong to a political party. And the reason I'm saying, let us maybe just spend 1 minute. When you move on...
How do you resign from the political party for 3 months and then rejoin?
Yes.
And then the following year, resign again when you're appointed and an acting capacity?
Yes. And then... And because by acting, it's not a guarantee that you'll one day be appointed as a judge. You may act for 3 terms or for 4 terms, but never make it before the JSC. And then, why I'm asking that, when I was looking at it last night, I saw a section where a judge has got a practice, is either an attorney or is an advocate. This code says on appointment, then he must wind off and collect whatever he's entitled to. And then my suggestion, if it carries the weight and the support, shouldn't say if even this one, a person must resign from the political party if it happens to be successful. Schaefer, you wanted to say something there after Jeffrey. I don't want us to labor the point a lot. I remember we spoke about it last time, but I was just seeing a very awkward position. And then maybe let me end by saying, we have interviewed people in their CVs who reflected that they were members of parties. I thought I would bring one of the bundles. I forgot to do it. It's in my constituency. I wanted to bring it to say, hey, look at this one. His CV was
reflecting that he's a member of a political party, and he succeeded, and he was appointed. Honourable Schaefer, the after Honourable Jeffrey, let us spend something like 5 minutes and pass it, if possible.
Mr. Chair, I think that's a very dangerous precedent you're setting. The crucial point of the judiciary is that they're independent and that they seem to be independent. You can't have even an acting judge who is an active member of a political party. And if that has been done, then it's quite concerning, I must say. But, you know, if you have judicial aspirations, then I think it would be reasonable to expect people not to be active in politics. They're entitled to support a party when they vote, obviously, but you cannot be seen to be independent as a judge if you associate yourself with a political party. And I think that's a very, very dangerous precedent to set, and I certainly would not support that.
Before Honourable Jeffrey, he is not active, he's just a member. He's just a member in good standing, and then he's a dormant member. Are we saying even if he acts, we don't want the person to belong? Because the key word here says belong. Honourable Jeffrey.
Look, I mean, Ms. Schaefer is using the word active member, whereas this is just member. And, you know, there is a constitutional right of freedom of association. And I think the issue is the difficulty of acting judges, and we know how difficult they are to get. I mean, remember Judge Wepe talking about phoning and everything. You know, you're looking for acting judges and you've got to phone a number of people. Now, I wanted to go to sub 2 on the next page, because it might help us. And that is, a judge must, upon appointment, immediately sever all professional links. Page 15. So it is the new sub 2. A judge must, upon appointment, immediately sever all professional links. Now, again, with an acting judge, you don't expect them. They're a member of the Bar Council. They're a member of the Law Society. You don't expect them to sever all links for the short period of acting. But presumably it's covered because it's upon appointment, okay? Now maybe the solution to 1A is also to link it to appointment. So a judge must not belong to any political party or secret organization, and upon appointment must resign from such organizations that he or she happens to be a member of, something like that.
Yes.
Okay, so one makes it a bit clearer that this is only applying to, I don't think you can make it apply to acting judges. It just is not going to make sense. I mean, obviously, you don't want a politically active person to be made an acting judge. The acting judges are the discretion of the JPs, aren't they? So hopefully they would have more sense. But I don't think you want to say, no, you must resign. You know, for the few months. So I think it should be linked to the full-time appointment rather than the acting. So I'd want to make that, because it's the same thing, as I said, with sub 2 on the next page. You don't expect the acting judge to resign from the Law Society or the Bar Council or whatever. And then just maybe to say, I mean, you know, we've had, I don't think anyone criticizes Judge Albie Sachs or Judge Yakub or Judge Mosoneke even. I mean, remember, Judge Mosoneke was the deputy, the second most senior person in the Pan-Africanist Congress. So, you know, you can have had that. Obviously, once you're a judge, you stay out of it. And if you listen to Judge Sachs, I mean, he's no longer a member of the ANC. He makes that sort of point quite clear, that on appointment, that was it.
Right, let us speak about it. Honourable Smith first.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I think we have situations where you have acting judges who act for period of 3 months, and you have acting judges who act for literally years. So if you have an acting judge who basically makes a living from acting, being a member of a political party, it an acting judge delivers the same judgments, is allocated the same role as any other judge. So your principle should be that acting judges or judges should not be a member of a political party. If you deviate from it, you're on a slippery slide to nowhere, in my view.
Acting stint usually are 3 months. Let
some of them are 3 years.
3 years.
Longer. It should be. It should be 3 months, but it is.
It gets extended at the end of the term.
Yeah. Often.
Yes.
Often.
Okay. Anyone wants to speak about this? Or my co-chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I think I've been covered by this point because my experience with magistrates, some of them have been acting for the last 7 years, which is a problem. How do you deal with that situation?
Honorable Jeffrey?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's...
I think it's either... I don't know. I mean, I just think it's going to be very difficult to implement for the short stints, which is usually what happens. And I mean, I think the thing is either to leave it as it is and hope for the best. I mean, generally there aren't. I mean, look, remember at least that this is the lower courts. So when it comes to appeals, I mean, there'll always be an appeal to a higher court where definitely the judges won't be politicians, won't be members of parties. I'm not that comfortable with an expectation that an acting judge must resign. And I mean, I took very seriously Judge Nwepe's point about the difficulties in finding acting judges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't think you want to, and when we get on to the regulations on disclosure, I don't think you want to do things to put them off. That would be an unintended consequence. So look, I think that the two options are either we leave it as it is, which I would go for as well, in the hopes that nobody really notices or it doesn't really, we don't end up with a conflict along the way, or we go for the option that I put of must upon appointment, and then if one wants to address the acting appointments, I think acting appointments for judges are, I'm not aware of, I mean, you have long you don't have, do you have that long acting appointments on the lower courts? I mean, the high courts, not the magistrates, the high courts.
You do, maybe in the private office, you do get quite a
lot. Because, I mean, then those judges would be presumably losing their practices. Would they really want to do that? I mean, I know with the higher courts, you can have a longish acting period in the Constitutional Court or the SCA, but that's different because you're already a judge.
Chairperson, just to assist, you know, you sit on the... That's first, I will come back to you, Honorable Korenov.
Chairperson, I think we must acknowledge that we have a difficult situation here that has already been stated. I like Mr. Jeffrey's proposed amendment that reads, and upon appointment must resign his or her membership of such political party. The question of the acting judge, perhaps we could resolve it by insisting here that such person is required to declare his or her membership of the political party to the judge president or the chief justice.
Okay.
At the very least, so that then someone has knowledge of that membership. The difficulty lies when nobody knows, nobody's aware that this person who is an acting judge is actually Treasurer General of the NFP, and it comes out much later, and then you have this big hue and cry, perhaps.
Okay.
Whereas if it's declared, and the person making the appointment of the acting judge is aware of it, then that might assist.
Okay. Okay. Once this code becomes enforceable, and then and it happens that a person is just merely an acting judge, he may be googled and he may be accused of violating the code, because the code says a judge shall not belong. A judge must not belong to any political party or secret organization. Honorable Gordon, if you said you want to propose a solution.
I know, unfortunately not. I hope you've recorded, I'm in two parts. We're trying to approve the financial markets bill in finance, and I must be there. So generally I support this as it stands, but just for the members, when acting judges come in front of the Judicial Services Commission, they declare how many stints they have acted, and that is definitely far more than 3 months. And secondly, they are being asked whether they are a member. So I think we should help them when they start acting just to resign. And I haven't seen one judge being an acting declared that he is still a member of a political party. They just do it as common cause just then to resign. And I think we should put it in so that when they act, they resign, and then they will obviously say no on that question.
Let you be the last one,
Honourable.
If I may be. The point is, there's a reason for it, for judges not to belong to a political party. An acting judge is, for all intents and purposes, a judge. Just because they're called an acting judge doesn't actually change the function that they perform. They are a judge. And they make judgments for people as if they were a permanent judge. So the principle behind it remains the same. So I would really urge this committee to rather leave it as it is. I don't think it's at all appropriate.
Okay, are we agreed? Do we leave it as it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Let us then move to page number 15.
Now, Chair, does two mean the two applied acting judges?
Two.
On page 15. The severing of all professional links. How can it? Upon appointment, though. What's the difference?
Well, the bar council hardly,
No, I'm leaving out the political parties thing. I'm not trying to get into the political parties thing. But I'm just saying, you've got, so it's less important than the political parties. But I think that really, to be fair to acting judges, two should only apply to permanent appointments.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
A judge must upon then maybe permanent appointment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Yes. Okay.
On permanent.
Yes. I think that is fair.
Yeah.
Right. Anything on page number 15? I move to page number 16. Is there anything on page number 16?
Didn't
it has to do with the...
Chair, didn't we have some discussion? I can't recall whether we in fact resolved the issue of judges getting paid for lecturing and stuff. I mean, were we happy with that? I know we had some discussion about it.
Paid for what?
For
if they're going to lecture at places, then apparently they get quite a lot of money.
Sorry.
Okay. We're still coming to that, ne?
Okay.
Right. I put the question again, is there anything on page number 16? Honorable Landers, nothing. Page number...
maybe it's my English, but just look at note 13.4. If a judge of the view that there are, I suppose, no grounds... John, go on.
Where are you now?
13 Roman 4.
No grounds.
Yeah, if a judge is of the view that there are no grounds.
Okay. Right. Let's move to page number 17. 17. Anything on page number 17? Honourable.
That one that I raised, Mr. Chair. I can't recall what we decided eventually, but I know we had quite a bit of discussion on whether it was appropriate for judges to be paid quite substantial sums of money for lecturing and stuff like that.
I'd like to be reminded of what it's like, because I can't recall.
Can someone refresh our memory? What did we say last time we were discussing this? Honorable Koranov?
I think it's where they serve on the university council, for instance.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, it's actually on page but 19, extrajudicial income.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
There's nothing, there's no restriction on 17 to accepting an extra post.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's move to number 18. Page 18, anything on page number 18? I move to page number 19.
This is a non-debate, it's in the Act.
Okay.
They don't like it. But this is subservient legislation to the Act.
Okay.
Okay.
Am I, through your chair, not correct, Mr. De Lange?
I'm just trying to follow you, Chair. I'm exactly what is Mr. Jeffrey referring to, which part?
I'm looking at 11.1 of the Act.
Yes. And that would, to my mind, if you look at note 15.2, that seemed to be at odds with what's in 11.1, Chair.
Oh, you've got...
15.2. Yeah, that's delivering lectures.
Yeah.
Anyway, something where people in the private sector call him a judge,
he must
act as
an
arbitration.
No, that's covered elsewhere. That's covered. On page 17.3e, the judge must not assist the private arbitrator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see, the problem is 11.1, if I might just read it again. The judge performing active service, that's only the judges we're concerned about, may not hold or perform any other office of profit, may not receive in respect of any service any fees, emoluments, or remuneration allowances apart from his or her salary and royalties for legal books. Mm. Now, I think it's quite clear that delivering lectures and papers and receiving honoraria in respect of would be contradicting that.
The key is performing active service.
Yes, yes. But this is applicable to judges performing active service as well.
Okay. Once he's retired,
okay. Right, thank you. Honourable Jeffrey?
I think then that note 15.2 will have to be removed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you've got the bizarre situation of you go and put a judge, let's say on the IEC, or the Magistrates Commission, and they don't get any money.
Yeah.
They can't, okay, in terms of the law. But yet when they go and give a lecture to a university or whatever, they're going to get paid.
Mm.
It's a contradiction. I think that 15.2 has to go away.
Yeah.
Because not because it's right or wrong, but because it's in conflict with the Act.
Yeah.
See, there might be one advantage. If you make 15.2 applicable only to judges discharged from active service, it would save them the trouble from approaching the minister every time they want to do anything like that. It's either that or completely checked.
Judges discharged from active service may deliver public and receive. It would be judges may deliver public lectures on appropriate subjects or teach at academic institutions. That's fine.
Yeah.
But only judges discharged from, but may only receive reasonable honoraria if they're discharged from active duty. So you just need to do the wording to make sure that the delivering of the lectures and the papers or teaching applies to everybody, but the honoraria only applies to discharge from active service.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Matila. You are excused. Right, let us move to page number 19. Anything on page number 19? Nothing. Oh, that was 19. Page number 20. Nothing. Page number 21.
Sorry, can we also send 20 sub 3?
On page 20.
Sub 3.
Sub 3.
Can you also send that to the Constitutional Court judges for comment?
No, it's the matter. Chairperson, there's the language problem then.
Oh, okay.
Must do what with the matter?
Raise.
Raise or discuss?
Raise.
Raise.
Oh, yeah. I remember I corrected my copy last night. Must raise the matter with that colleague,
yeah,
or with the head of the court. Concerned.
You see, if you had sent it to the constitutional court judges, they would have been fixed up.
But Reverend Jeffrey, I think your suggestion was for another reason, not for
a malicious reason, Chair.
We are done. We are on page number 21. I didn't hear anything on page 21. Yes, nothing. Nothing. Before you leave, Mr. Korenov. Yeah. Right. Can I formally ask, is there anyone moving for the adoption of this code for judicial conduct?
I'll
anyone? Professor Ndabandaba? Any seconder?
Okay.
Honorable Korenov. Thank you very much. Anyone against it? No one against it. We are all in agreement. Yes. Thank you. Remember, we have just done the code. We are still waiting for the rules. Thank you very much. You are excused.
Okay.